Chapter 3. Introducing yourself to the group. What do you say after you say hello? 1. If you've previously been part of the group and been promoted. You were once part of the group. They were all your mates, buddies, or friends. You may well have socialized together. You've probably shared a life together, and you've interacted at the same level. Maybe you often talked about management. Maybe you all criticized management or your boss at the time. Maybe you were all critical of the way that the company or organization was heading. Maybe you were all critical of the lack of communication and felt that you were all being kept in the dark such that you didn't trust management. But now it's all changed. You're the boss. No matter who you are, they are all going to look at you differently now, whether you like it or not. Perhaps, too, there were others in the group who also applied for the job role that you ended up winning. How do you think they might be feeling? Some will see you as betraying the group. Others may think that now that you're the boss, that they will get preferential treatment. Others will feel a sense of loss, that it won't be the same again in relation to your friendship and interaction, because you have now been elevated to a different role. What is critical here is how you manage this. This is your first test. Fail this, and it will mean that your track ahead is going to be much more difficult than otherwise would be the case. It's going to be all about communication. First of all, you need to speak to the group as a whole. So what are you going to say? It is a truism that good leaders are transparent and genuine in their interactions and need to be seen as vulnerable and human just like everyone else. In that respect, it is best to be open and honest about the fact that this is going to be a somewhat difficult transition into leadership for both you and them for the kinds of reasons outlined above. You need to acknowledge that this is a new role for you, as they well know, and that you will not always get it right. But importantly, you will value their feedback and their support as you find your way in this new role. It will also be important for you, at least in a general way, to outline the vision or direction for the team, in that you want it to be a team of excellence and for the team to be known as a cut above the rest. Further, it will be important to reaffirm to each of them that their own professional development and growth is something that is important to you as a leader and that you will be having discussions with each of them about how they can be their own best and achieve what they would like to work towards. It will indeed be critical then for you to set up one-on-one meetings with each of your staff to see how they feel about you being appointed to the role, how they see the unit or team, how they see their own role, and where they feel they might be headed. They might have questions too to ask you about where you think the team might head or where they could head. Make sure, therefore, that everyone feels heard. 2. If you're an outside appointment. I heard recently that for new leaders to any group, that it takes at least 9 months to gain a real sense of what the business is about and to really understand the politics and the culture of the organization. In my own experience of changing jobs, it was more like 12 months before I really gained a sense of the organization and where it was going, of the politics and dynamics and of the nuances of the culture. Needless to say, the critical area for me to really understand was the office politics and who liked who and who didn't like who, the particular personalities and their strengths and foibles, the agendas that played out for individuals and for specific groups, and the niches that developed for various reasons. All of this, of course, takes time to understand. Because of the intricacies of human nature, understanding this whole dynamic is not something that can be rushed, and if you do not understand the office politics, then it is probably true to say that you could well be limiting your career options. How to gain this social intelligence is probably another book in and of itself, but you need to be observant, listen intently, ask good questions, and try to use your intuitive powers to also read between the lines. Above all, don't rush in, and instead, be prepared to acknowledge that it will take time to understand all the nuances and subtleties. In this way, it would be foolish to be making changes or significant decisions in the first week or two, and instead your key role, and probably for the first 30 days at least, is to listen and ask as many questions as you can. If some members of your team try to press you for answers or decisions, simply let them know that you are in discovery mode and keen to learn before any pathways or projects can be determined. However, on your first day in the organization or business, when you are introduced to your team, you will, of course, need to say something by way of introduction. Needless to say, as I've intimated above, all eyes will be on you, and that's from the moment you pull up in the car park or you walk up to the front door. Your comments to your new group will be similar to what I have portrayed above for individuals who have been promoted from within the group. Your opening comments are not going to be too much different, except to say that you obviously won't have to deal with issues that come from an internal promotion. So, some vital tips to ensure that you kick off in the best possible way. 1. Introduce yourself to everyone. Make a point of meeting everyone in your team, as well as those departments or units that interact with your team, and especially the leaders within those external teams. At this point, it is simply a case of giving your name, your new role, where you are from previously, and what attracted you to your current company. 2. Make it a point of learning everyone's name. Devise your own plan to ensure that you remember everyone's name, and this might mean writing it down, commandeering staff photographs, and reviewing these for homework each night so that those names become entrenched. Remembering a person's name is a big leap forward in the relationship stakes and starts to build your own personal brand too. 3. Be focused on asking questions. As has been suggested above, in these early days, it is not about you pontificating or telling or advising. And instead, it's about you discovering, exploring, and investigating. This means listening. This means keeping quiet and taking it all in. Information is power. You need to understand all that you can about every aspect of the new business or organization, and you can only do this by asking questions and seeking information. 4. Be positive and enthusiastic. It may well be, however, that you are anxious and feeling overwhelmed at all there is to learn and know about your new role and the business. Irrespective, you cannot afford to show this, especially in these first few days, and as a new leader, your team will be looking to you to be positive and to eventually giving them some forward direction and pathway. This is a case, therefore, of fake it until you make it in these early days, until you start to settle down and feel more familiar in your new surroundings. Keeping a professional gap. Leaders can't have favourites. What can be very tricky with an internal promotion, and less so if you've come externally, is to understand that you cannot afford to have best friends or close allies in the same way that you might have had when you were simply a team member. Going to lunch with the same staff members, or generally hanging out with the same group for Friday night drinks, for example, sends the wrong message to everyone in the team and highlights that you may well be playing favourites. Once anyone in the team gains the notion that you may well have favourites, then you can expect office politics to rise to another level. Your leadership role will immediately be undermined, and you will find it much more difficult to manage the team than otherwise would be the case. Max Lucado once said, "A man who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd." Instead, you need to understand that as a leader, you need to treat everyone impartially and equally, and that as a leader, you cannot afford to have a best friend in your group. If you had a best friend previously, then it will be critical for you to have had that conversation with that individual and explain to them that although your feelings in connection with them hasn't changed, that as a leader, however, you need to be seen to be doing things in a just and equitable fashion. Leaders can't be friends with everyone. New leaders often mistakenly think that they can undertake their role by being friends with everyone. There is a distinction here between being friendly and being a friend. Being friendly means that you are warm, engaging, and approachable with everyone in your team. You say good morning to each one as you start the day, and you're prepared to engage in brief social conversation about their weekend, their family, their children, their hobbies, and generally show an interest in their lives and their activities. You're interested in them as people, but not at a deeper level. Being a friend, however, is more intense and personal and shows a deeper, more intimate connection. This being a friend often occurs, though, because the new leader wants to be liked by everyone. He or she thinks that they can be a good leader if everyone likes them and everyone thinks well of them. Nothing is further from the truth. It's about being respected, not necessarily being liked by everyone. If, as a leader, you are bitten by the curse of being a people pleaser, where you want everyone to like you, then I refer you to my other book titled How to Stop Your Self-Sabotage: Steps to Increase Your Self-Confidence, which is available in hard copy, audio, or Kindle through www.howtostopselfsabotage.com. Herbert Swope once said, "I cannot give you the formula for success, but I can give you the formula for failure, which is try to please everybody." Being a best friend means that you also compromise your leadership capacity. Leaders can't be friends. As a leader, you won't be able to discipline your team members if that's necessary. You'll also find it difficult to delegate work because you'll be imposing on your friends. You will typically find it difficult to be assertive because then people may not like you. All this goes to say that being a friend and being a leader do not go hand in hand. Instead, as indicated above, it is all about being friendly. Beware social occasions. Where many new leaders fall down is on social occasions, e.g., Friday night drinks at work or at the local hotel, work get-togethers to celebrate success milestones, Christmas functions, and so on, particularly where alcohol is involved or perhaps drugs are used. Typically, the leaders let their hair down and they become one of the team again and possibly behave in inappropriate ways, which only serves to damage their brand and reputation and undo any good work that they might have done. This is not a way to gain respect, and certainly your supervisors would start to question their decision to appoint you to a leadership role if you cannot manage yourself socially. Besides, the grapevine in any organization works extremely well, and if you think that your misdemeanors after hours will somehow remain back at the hotel or at the function center or wherever, then you are naive and gravely mistaken. Alternatively, as a new leader, you are certainly expected to join in and be present at all social get-togethers and celebrations, but you must learn to also set yourself apart. It is important that you monitor your alcohol intake, that you don't drop your guard and act inappropriately, and that, in fact, you may be one of the first to leave to go home and allow your team to continue to drink and socialize. Leadership is not having all the answers. It's interesting in the coaching that I undertake with new leaders that somehow or other there is a myth being perpetuated that as a leader they should have all the answers. Somehow or other, they're supposed to know everything. If a team member, for example, comes to them with an issue or problem, somehow or other, they're supposed to come up with an answer and relatively soon. In my experience, good leaders do not have to have all the answers, but they do have a good team around them who may well in fact know the answers, or instead the leaders themselves know where to find the answers. Alternatively, if neither the leader nor the team member know the answer, then both decide to try to find the answer by working together. Of course, it is expected that new leaders will be technically competent and know their trade or skill or profession, but where is it written that they should know everything there is to know? Furthermore, in a VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, where things are changing rapidly and where new situations are being encountered regularly such that there is no prior experience or precedent, how on earth can a leader, let alone a new leader, know everything there is to know? It's simply not possible. It's unrealistic. The new leader needs to feel confident in themselves as a person, to simply listen to the issue and ask pertinent questions and include the staff member into the conversation to see if they too, for instance, might have a possible solution or remedy to the issue or problem. If neither of these individuals can come up with a solution, then plans are set in place about who to talk to or where to go in order to access a possible solution or outcome. The leader working together with the staff member sets up an important framework for inclusiveness and respect. A second myth is that somehow or other, the leader should have all the answers immediately. Where is it written that the leader should know all things straight away? Again, this is a mistaken assumption, and good leaders often need to take time to consider issues or problems and even include the various staff members again in helping them in assisting to find an appropriate solution. New leaders need to give themselves permission to discover, investigate, and take time to source various solutions, often with the help of their team or a particular staff member, and occasionally to go outside the group to source an appropriate outcome. Leadership is not doing it all yourself. There is also the notion that somehow or other, the leader needs to do it all themselves and that the team's success all rides on the leader's shoulders. Of course, there's an element of truth in this, but some new leaders believe that the only way the team can be successful is if they do the work themselves, so that they work back late and they work long hours to get it all done, and they take on extra projects that ought to be delegated to various team members. They fix up team members' errors, and they help out team members to meet deadlines that ought to have been met by the team member themselves. Andrew Carnegie once said, "No man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself or get all the credit for doing it." Not surprisingly, this new team leader will quickly become very stressed and burnt out, and in the process will be inefficient. It will also mean that they are not giving any direction or lead to their team, who will be floundering with low productivity and low morale. Instead, it is about mobilizing the team, working out the strengths of each team member, and encouraging and supporting the team to reach particular goals using certain strategies. More will be said about this later, but it's important for the new leader to realize quite clearly that this is not a one-person race, and in fact, it is more like a team relay where each team member relies on the other to effectively run their part of the race. Chapter 3 Summary. Introducing yourself to the group. What do you say after you say hello? 1. If you've previously been part of the group and been promoted. First of all, you need to speak to the group as a whole. So what are you going to say? There are certain topics that you need to cover. Secondly, it will be critical for you to set up one-on-one meetings with each of your staff to see how they feel about you being appointed to the role, how they see the unit or team, how they see their own role, and where they feel they might be headed. 2. If you're an outside appointment, don't rush in, and instead be prepared to acknowledge that it will take time to understand the business, the politics, and all the nuances. This takes time. Observe, listen, and ask lots of questions. Keeping a professional gap. Leaders can't have favorites. Once anyone in the team gains the notion that you may well have favorites, then you can expect office politics to rise to another level and your leadership role will immediately be undermined. Leaders can't be friends with everyone. There is a distinction between being friendly and being a friend. Beware social occasions. Where many leaders fall down is on social occasions, particularly where alcohol is involved or perhaps drugs are used. Typically, the leaders let their hair down and they become one of the team again and behave inappropriately. Leadership is not having all the answers. There is a myth being perpetuated that as a leader, you should have all the answers. Good leaders do not have all the answers, but they do have a good team around them who may well in fact know the answers, or instead, the leaders themselves know where to find the answers. A second myth is that somehow or other, they should have all the answers immediately. Good leaders often need to take time to consider issues or problems and even include the staff members in helping to assist in finding an appropriate solution. Leadership is not doing it all yourself. There is the notion that somehow or other the leader needs to do it all themselves and that the team's success all rides on the leader's shoulders. Instead, it is about mobilizing the team, working out the strengths of each team member, and encouraging and supporting the team to reach particular goals by using certain strategies.